And it's good to be here tonight. Psalm chapter 9. Been a good day today. Quite hot, but we're getting close to the we're already past the first day of summer. Days are getting shorter now. So we're going into July, and July and August are probably the hottest parts of the year. July, August, and September. So we can expect some heat. But we praise God for taking care of us for another week. And we are here in Psalm chapter 9. We'll look at this. Psalm has 20 verses. And we'll look at this chapter. And our text verse will be verse 17, and the title of the message is When a Nation Forgets God. When a Nation Forgets God. This is a psalm of thanksgiving that David wrote for God's justice. David was happy and thankful in praising God because God is a just God and he is going to perform justice. He does not turn a blind eye to sin. He does not look away from sin and just let it go on past. He will take care of sin. He is the avenger. Psalm chapter 9, verse 1 says, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all of thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sittest in the throne judging right. When it says sittest, it means sit. Thou sit in the throne judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end, and thou hast destroyed cities. Their memorial is perished with them. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble, which I suffer of them that hate me. Thou hast lifted me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praises in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made, in the net which they hid in their own, is their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Higayon Salah. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. You see there a contrast, which is common, and we've been looking at this over the last 8 chapters, about the contrast between God's people and the heathen nations, the wicked nations, the nations that do not know God. And so David again makes another contrast there, but we're going to look at when a nation forgets God. Many times an individual, a family, can just forget all about God. They can forget about His Word. They can forget about the promises and the judgments that He has made and go on about their merry way and just live life as if there is no God. And there is an end to that. There is judgment coming for someone who would forget God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for all that you have blessed us with. Thank you for giving us today. Thank you for giving us of your word, Father. We thank you, dear God, for dealing with us and just loving us, even though We did not deserve it, Lord. We thank you, Father, for it. I pray that you'd help us to learn something here this evening and to be built up in the faith and encouraged in the faith. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It was about 6 years ago, and we lived over in Pampa, Texas. And it was about this time of year. It was in the month of July, and that's around my wife's birthday. And about 6 years ago, I was working, doing oil field work and things like that. Had a pretty busy day ahead of me, had things to do. And it was the day of my wife's birthday. And I had been thinking weeks before about what I'm going to get her, what I'm going to do for my wife. I'm going to buy her some flowers. I'm going to buy her a present. I'm going to do something for my wife for her birthday. It's her special day. Well, I'd been thinking about it, preparing. And I got down to the day of her birthday, and I went to work that morning. Went all the way to work. I worked about an hour away, drove all the way to work. Did my day's work there. I called her during lunchtime that day. And mind you, it's her birthday. I did not mention her birthday whenever I called her, because I had forgotten her birthday that day. And so I did the day's work, worked all day. I was driving home about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and I got a call from my daughter Paige. And she called me and she said, "Dad, did you forget your mom's birthday?" I said, "Oh my goodness. Oh, this is horrible. I did. I forgot her birthday. Oh, I felt horrible." I mean, I had been so preoccupied with things going on that day, doing my work and all of those things, that I had forgotten her birthday. I felt horrible. So I thought, well, we live down the road from a florist. So I thought, well, I'll stop on the way home and try to play this off like I really didn't forget her birthday. So I stopped at the florist, got a bouquet of flowers, roses, something like that, went on home, and she was in the garage working and cleaning up. I thought, well, I'm going to go in there and, you know, try to really play this up like I didn't forget. So I walked in singing happy birthday to her, had the flowers in hand. I thought, man, she'll buy it, and she didn't buy it. I could tell by looking at her face, she's like, "You forgot my birthday." I said, "Well, no, I didn't. I didn't. Look, I got your flowers right here." And she goes, "No, I've already talked to Paige, and I told her about it. You know, you talked to me at lunchtime, and you forgot my birthday." Man, I felt horrible. I mean, I had been thinking about this for 2 weeks. I was going to get her something. I was going to celebrate her birthday, but I forgot. I got sidetracked. I became oblivious that day to the fact that it was my wife's birthday. I felt horrible. Do you know that we can do the same thing many times with God? And I believe as a nation, the United States of America has pretty much forgotten who God is. They've forgotten about His judgments and His word, and that He is really real, and that we will have to answer to Him one of these days. I believe that that atheism is on the rise in the United States of America, and people are becoming more and more atheist, and they're turning away from belief in the one true God of the Bible. And they've forgotten about it. They become sidetracked by other things in life. They become preoccupied by other things in life. They've turned to secularism. They've turned to humanism. They've turned to all of these different things, and they've forgotten completely about the fact that one of these days they're going to die, and they're going to have to meet that God one of these days, and they're going to have to answer for their actions. I mean, if you really think about it, the most important thing in life is when you pass this life and you have to meet God. You have to give an account of your actions one of these days. I mean, how big a house you had, how nice a car that you had, how nice a cell phone that you had is not going to compare to that day when you have to meet God and have to answer to Him. But David is here and he's surrounded by nations that have basically forgotten God. They don't think about Him. They go on about their everyday business, getting married, having children and doing all these things, and they've forgotten all about Him. They don't know anything about Him. They don't care. As a matter of fact, people go to their deathbed not thinking about God, not thinking about the fact that they're going to have to give an account one of these days. He observed these nations and their ungodliness and their rebellion against God, and he looked forward to the time when God will judge those nations. And he makes the statement that they have forgotten God in verse number 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. To forget something means to be oblivious to the fact. That means you don't realize what is going on around you. And these nations, they did not notice creation. They did not notice the life that God had given them, and they just went on about their merry way and replaced God with perhaps an idol or a false god or something like that, and they had forgotten God. At one time, they may have knew God, and they worshiped God, or they had some kind of knowledge of God, but that is long past. They don't think about God anymore. They don't think about sin. They don't think about reckoning and all of those different things. It says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 21 about the history of Gentile nations, Paul tells us that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Whenever you forget God and you decide that you're not going to pay attention to God or to His Word, your heart becomes darkened and your imaginations become vain. And that gives rise to atheism and evolution and all kinds of other dark things that have cropped up in our nation here today. But David praised the Lord because he believed that God would deliver him and take vengeance on those nations that had forgotten God. And he praised God because he was a righteous judge. Now there is a prophetic application that you could put here in this chapter. David, I believe, is looking forward to the time when all nations will have to stand before God and give an account. Now right here at this time when David is writing this, he's in trouble. He's on the run. There's people against him. There are people that are trying to kill him. Lots of tribulation in his life. Lots of people trying to get him. And so you can make an application here that during the Great Tribulation, sometime here in the future, that Israel will be in this state. The Bible tells us that the Great Tribulation is called the time of Jacob's trouble. Well, they're going to be in a lot of trouble during that time. All nations are going to come against the nation of Israel. They're going to try and wipe them out, just like they have been for the last 2,000 years. Let me tell you something here this evening. God has not forgotten His people. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but God has not forgotten Israel. He still has a plan for their nation. But I think David is looking forward here a lot, and he's seeing what's going to happen here in the future with the Great Tribulation and how Israel will be in trouble, and they will be in a lot of trouble there. But Jesus Christ is going to come back, and He is going to deliver them one of these days. They're going to be crying out for Jesus Christ to come back and to deliver them. And lo and behold, Jesus Christ is going to come back down out of the sky, and He's going to set up His kingdom here upon this earth in Jerusalem, and He's going to be the King of the entire world. Boy, you talk about a happy nation at that time. Israel's going to be happy. Man, their Messiah is here. Jesus Christ is here, and He's going to set up His kingdom. But what about all those nations that came against the nation of Israel? Well, they're going to have to face God one of these days. One of these days, they're going to have to come to a reckoning. If you read Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 46, you'll find out about that reckoning that's going to take place. And the Bible says that those who did not treat the nation of Israel right and were not kind to that nation will be cast into a burning lake of fire, it says. Now it says in our text here, verse number 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell in all the nations that forget God. Hey, they forgot about the God of the Bible. They forgot about the righteousness that is revealed in His Word, and they decided to do it on their own. But one of these days, they're going to be thrown into hell. You can find out again about the reality of hell in Revelation chapter number 20, when all of the unsaved dead will stand before God one of these days, and if they are in their own righteousness and they have not trusted in God's righteousness, they will be cast into the lake of fire, and they're never going to get out. That's what he's talking about there in hell. That will be the end of the unsaved dead. We'll go to hell one of these days. But it's an awful reality when a nation or a family or an individual forgets about God. Well, that's an awful thing. Whenever you forget about God and you go on and you live your life the way that you want to live your life and you just disregard God and His Word. Well, that's an awful thing. You're in sad shape if you forget God. If you become oblivious to the fact that there is a God. First thing we want to look at is a nation that forgets God. We see a few things that happen when a nation forgets God or why they forget God. Why would a nation forget God? David is completely surrounded by Gentile nations who have completely forgotten God, but we see some characteristics of a nation that is oblivious to God. Look at verse number 3. Why would a nation become oblivious to God? The first reason is there is no repentance in the land. They're not willing to turn back to God. It says in verse number 3, when mine enemies are turned back. Do you see the posture of the people there? They have their back towards God. They're running from God. But one of these days, God's going to get a hold of them. One of these days, they're going to have to face God. They're going to have to turn around and face Him. Right now, they are running away from God. Their posture is away from God. They have their backs to God. There is no repentance. They don't want to turn around and quit their evil deeds and quit their sinning. No, they want to keep going their merry way. If there is no repentance in the land, you have forgotten God. There must be repentance. There must be repentance. A nation forgets God when they refuse to turn and repent of sin. They are retreating from God, not running to God. Every nation that needed repentance, God sent a prophet to that land. You know what they preached? Repent! Turn from your sin and turn to God. Quit your sinning and turn to God. You forgot about God. You better turn around. You're going the wrong way. Repent. Come back to God. Come back to God. I remember God sent Jonah to Nineveh. What did he say? He said, your nation is fixing to get destroyed. You better turn around. You forgot about God. You better repent. Same way with America. You better turn around. You forgot about God. Why you've been blessed all these years? How come you're such a great nation? Not because of capitalism, but because of God. That's why. God has made America great. God sent Isaiah to Israel because Israel had forgotten about God. Now you talk about the covenant nation of God. God's own chosen people would forget about God. The nation that crossed over the Jordan River, the nation that God brought out of Egypt from bondage, they would forget about God? They sure would. And they did. Amen. And God said, okay, I'll send you a prophet. I'll send a prophet to you and he'll preach to you. His name is Isaiah. He said this in Isaiah 58 and verse number 1. Cry aloud and spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Go preach to the people of Israel and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Show them what they're doing wrong. Repent, come back to God because you have forgotten about God. When there is no repentance in the land, you've forgotten about God. God also sent John the Baptist to Israel. And John the Baptist came to the nation of Israel, they were like sheep that had no shepherd. What did John the Baptist say? Hey, you guys are all right. You're doing good. You look good. If you're nice and righteous, no need to repent. That's not what he said. He said, repent. The kingdom of heaven is here. Your Messiah is here. I'm going to make straight the ways of the Lord. The crooked way shall be made straight. Stop your sinning. You need to repent. When a nation doesn't repent, they have forgotten about God. You know what Jesus said when he came on the scene and started preaching? Repent. Quit your lying. Quit your stealing. And get right. You're going the wrong way. When a nation doesn't repent, they have forgotten about God. What's the matter with America today? They have forgotten about God. You know why? Because they won't repent of sin. You know what America does with sin today? They run to it. They run to sin. They celebrate sin. What is this month? It is Pride Month. Oh, they're celebrating sin here in the United States of America. They're having parades in the streets to celebrate sin. They're saying, hey, we don't need to listen to God. We don't need to listen to God's word. We're going to do what we want to do, and we're not going to repent. The Bible says you'll be thrown into hell if you don't repent. They justify sin. They indulge in sin. They market sin for financial gain, but they don't repent of it. And they're fools. You must repent of sin. We turn our back on God and we run from God. When a nation does not repent, they have forgotten God. You know what else a nation does when they have forgotten God? There is no knowledge of His name. Look at verse number 10. There is a people in this chapter that do know the name of God, and that is Israel, but these people do not know the name of God. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. You want to put your trust in God? You better know His name. You better know who He is. The Bible says that the devils believe in God and tremble. It doesn't matter whether you just believe in God. You can't believe in some nameless, faceless blob out there. You got to know who He is. Yeah. His name's Jehovah. As a matter of fact, He told the children of Israel who His name was. He says, I am that I am. Amen. My name is Jehovah. That is my name and it will be forever. Amen. If you don't know the name of God, you have already forgotten God. You got to know the name of God. When Moses went to the children of Israel to take them out of bondage, the land of Egypt, God gave him His name. In Exodus chapter 3 and verse number 13 to 15, you ought to look it up. He said, man, if they're going to call out to me and they're in trouble and they want to repent and they want to come to me, man, I want them to know my name. And He gave them their name, His name. His name was Jehovah. Guess who the God is in the New Testament? He came down in flesh. Man, His name is Jesus Christ. Jesus means Jehovah saves. Man, He came down in flesh and He died in your place for your sins. He has redeemed you. Man, if you want to be saved, go to Jesus Christ. You want your sins forgiven? Go to Jesus Christ. That's all you must do. Don't forget about God. Man, He's done everything that you need to have eternal life. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, neither is there salvation in any other. There is no other name, for there is no other name given among heaven whereby you must be saved. Man, you want to have salvation? Go to Jesus Christ. You want the grace of God? You want the mercy of God? Go to Jesus Christ. Don't forget about God. When a nation forgets the name of the true God, God becomes a nameless, faceless God. That's what's happened in America today. We've been so flooded with different kinds of religion, but everyone's confused. They don't know who the true God is. Well, it could be this religion over there or that religion over there. It could be the Buddhists, could be the Hindus. Man, I just don't know. I don't know who it is. Man, search the Scriptures. Look in the Word of God. You'll find out who the true God is. You'll find out who the true God of history is. You'll find out what God did in history. You'll find out about all the miracles that God did. You'll find out about all the prophecies that have come to pass and that will come to pass. Man, don't forget about God. Number three, the reason that a nation would forget God is because there is no fear of God. Well, they're not afraid of God anymore. Amen. Look in verse number 20. Verse number 20, put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. The reason that a nation would forget God is because they don't fear God anymore. They're not afraid of the consequences of sin anymore. They're not afraid that God might do something. They're not afraid that God might put them in hell one of these days. They're not afraid of what might happen to their family. They're not afraid of what might happen to their health. There is no fear of God anymore, and they have forgotten about God. It says in Psalms chapter 10, verse number 4, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts. No fear of God. That's the way America is today. Man, they'll flaunt their sin. They'll put it on television, internet, wherever you want. They'll indulge in it. Man, there's no fear of God. They're not afraid at all. One of these days, judgment's going to come to the United States of America because of sin. But we ought to fear God. Would you like to go through your life and not fear anything? Do you go through your life and not fear anything? Life that does not fear in this present world is an abnormal life, because every one of us fear something, and it's a healthy fear. It's a healthy fear. I read this the other day. It says, we cannot live either in our natural or our spiritual life without fear. A man will never be a first-rate surgeon unless he fears infection and sterilizes his instruments. A child will never be fit to live alone until it fears to throw a lighted match into the wastebasket. A man will never be a successful builder until he fears to put one rotten timber into his house, nor a successful Christian until he fears to put one rotten thought into his character. Don't go any farther unless you can say that you fear sin in all of its forms. Do you fear sin here this evening? Are you afraid of sin? Or do you indulge in it? Are you afraid of offending God? Because we ought to have a fear of God, a fear of sin and of God. Because God hates sin and He will not tolerate sin. And if you start not fearing God and not fearing sin, you'll forget about God. You must fear God. Judgment is coming for those nations that forget God. Now, we live in an evil world, and we live in an evil society, getting more evil by the moment. And there's ungodliness all around us, and they have forgotten God. Well, let me tell you something here this evening. There's good news, man. God has not forgotten you. God has not forgotten you. He has not forgotten His people. We see three characteristics of the kind of people that God takes note of. Look at verse number 9. Verse number 9. The Lord will be a refuge for the oppressed. Man, God has not forgotten the oppressed. And I'm talking about being oppressed for righteousness' sake. Not for doing something wrong, not for getting thrown in jail because you're a murderer, but for doing right. God has not forgotten the oppressed. Verse number 10 says, they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Are you seeking God here this evening? God has not forgotten about you. Not in the least little bit. And then in verse number 12, he maketh inquisition for blood. That means he avenges murder. And he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. God has not forgotten the cry of the humble. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Amen. We ought to pursue being humble, because God has not forgotten those people. God is still saving and calling out a people for His name. God is still cares about people and is saving people. Number one, I'd like to say that God has not forgotten Israel. God has a plan for Israel in this age. And it doesn't matter how hard people fight against them, how many times they try to wipe them off the face of this earth, God has not forgotten about them. They still have a plan in God's calendar. God has got something for them to do. It says in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 14 to 16, but Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me. That means Israel. Israel said, hey man, the Lord has forsaken us. And my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, but I will not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands, and thy walls are continually before me. God has not forgotten about Israel. He's made an everlasting covenant with them, and it will go on forever. Amen. Forever. God has not forgotten about the nation of Israel. It says again in Romans chapter 11, verse number 1, God has not cast away His people. God forbid. God has not forgotten about Israel. God has not forgotten about you as well. God has not forgotten about His church. God loves His church. The church are also God's chosen people. We have not replaced Israel, but we are God's chosen people. It tells us that in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. It tells us that again in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 6. God has not forgotten His people. God has got something for you and for I to do. God loves His church, and He's got something for you to do. Jesus Christ Himself said He promised He would not leave us nor forsake us. Now, we live in an ungodly unrighteous world, but God still cares and has not forgotten about you. Do you know God here this evening? And do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? God has not forgotten about you. It's not time to worry. It's not time to throw up our hands and say, well, that's it. Time's up. I mean, this world's gone to hell in a handbasket, so might as well just forget about it. No, God has not forgotten about you. It's not time to start getting worried. It's time to look to the sky. It's time to look to heaven. Look to Jesus Christ. He has reconciled us to Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. And so what should we do in light of the fact that God has not forgotten about us? What should we do? Well, in this world, sometimes we can become sidetracked, can't we? Man, we get so busy with work. We get so busy with sports. We get so busy with all of these different things. And man, we forget about the most important thing that we ought to be focusing on. Kind of like I did that day on my wife's birthday. Should have been thinking about her birthday, but I wasn't. We do the same thing sometimes, don't we? Man, we've got this great God who loves us and who cares about us, and He's going to take care of us, and He's going to bring us on home one of these days, and we don't give Him a single thought during the day. We don't make the main thing the main thing. Other things have got our attention. Television, all of these different things. Our lives ought to revolve around God and giving Him the glory and Him the praise and Him the honor. And if God is not the main point of our lives, let me tell you something. Your life is on the wrong track. Not where it ought to be. You're not going to find happiness and contentment in things. You weren't made that way. You weren't made to get contentment out of things that are going to wear out after 10, 15 years or 5 months. There's no contentment in those things. The only thing you're going to find out is going to be a headache for you. I know we have to have things, but what I'm trying to say is your contentment and your happiness is found in God, in your Creator. That's where your happiness is found. So what should we do? Well, in verse number 1, David says, I will praise Thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. Man, we ought to praise God. Praise God with our whole heart. Man, we come to church here and we sing hymns and we praise God, but man, don't let that be the only day that you praise God. How about doing it on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday? Don't let a day go by where you don't think about God and all He's done for you. Don't let a day go by where you don't think about the cross. Don't let a day go by where you don't think about Jesus Christ. Man, one of these days you're going to have to meet, or you're going to get to meet Him one of these days. And God deserves all of our praise and all of our adoration and all of our worship. David said again in Psalm 37, verse 4 and 5, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. What were we made to do, man? We were made to delight in God. He's been so good to us. Everything that we have has come from God. You got a wife here this evening. You got children. You've got health. You've got life. Where'd you get it from? Did you generate those things yourself? God gave them to you. We ought to praise God for that. Give Him thanks and praise Him. Another thing we ought to do is declare what God has done. He says, I will praise Thee, verse number 1, I will praise Thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all Thy marvelous works. Tell others what God has done for you. You know the greatest story in history is the story of the redemption of mankind, and how God Himself descended here upon this earth and died for your sins and my sins. And if you receive Him as your Savior, you can have the slate wiped cleaned and have all your sins forgiven and be a child of God. Tell others about that great story, about all His marvelous works and what He's done for you. No other religion on the face of this earth has a story like that. You know what they have? They have do this, do this, do this, and do this, and you might get into heaven one of these days. That's what they have. Do you think that's good news? That's bondage, my friend. That's bondage. That's bad news right there. Because I'm a sinner, and I'm not going to make it. But guess what? God's already paid the price. Man, show forth His marvelous works to everyone that you know. Tell others is what we ought to do. The gospel. Paul told the church at Philippi, hold forth the word of life. The primary goal for our church and for church in general is to preach the gospel. It's not social change. It's not moralism. That's not it. It's preach the gospel. You know why? Because the power of God is found in the gospel. And when people get saved, then you have social change. Then you have morals. Then you have things that you need. That's why we preach the gospel. So we give those things that we give the gospel out. The last thing that we can do in verse number 2 says that we can rejoice in Him. Rejoice in Him, man. Be glad and happy that you have a Heavenly Father that loves you. You know, I heard a story the other day. Man, it was awesome. Awesome. This missionary was teaching a Hindu woman about the gospel. And man, he was trying to teach her something, and they were reading the Lord's Prayer. And he was teaching this to this woman, and he said, okay, this is how the Lord's Prayer, the so-called Lord's Prayer goes. And he said, "Our Father which art in heaven," and she stopped him right there, and she said, "Hey, you said our Father. Well, if God's our Father, we don't need to worry about anything else. You've got it taken care of. You know how God becomes your Father? Through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. If God's our Father, hey, amen, we can rejoice about that. That's something to be happy about and rejoice about. So we live in a world that basically has forgotten God, a society that has forgotten God, but God hasn't forgotten about us. Hey, let's not forget about Him in our daily lives and worship Him the way that we ought to. Let's pray.